Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8, we're continuing the study that we've been on for the last couple of weeks, last few weeks. We're studying the first 9 chapters of the book of Proverbs, and then we're going to take the last chapter, chapter 31, and also look at that. But we're in chapter 8 today, so let's go ahead and see what Solomon has to say. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, it's my prayer that the people listening would do exactly as we've just read, that they would hear the word of God. Lord, I know that I am but a pitiful, pitiful example of what a preacher should be. But the message that I have, there is none better on the face of the earth. I'm preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and Lord, I'm honored to be able to do so. Lord, I believe that you've given me a message, and I'm asking that you help me to preach. But Lord, as I cry unto these your people, as I try to do what you've said, to go to the highways and byways and compel them to come in by the airwaves in this case, Lord, help them to understand. Lord, give them understanding. Lord, grant them wisdom. Give them ears to hear. Lord, if they hear me, see me, follow me, they've done nothing. But Lord, if they would hear Jesus Christ, if they would somehow hear the tug of the Holy Spirit upon their hearts, Lord, you can change their lives. And we ask for that, Lord. And we thank you, and we praise you, and worship you, Lord, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Everyone, to my understanding, I guess I could go back through and look to be sure, but every one of the chapters that we've touched on previously, chapter 1 through chapter 7, they pretty much said, look, those of you that are listening, those of you that are reading, look, I have something to say, that I've got something that will help you, that I've got wisdom, I've got understanding, I've got discretion, he said. I've got these things that will help you. And this chapter is no different. He says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice?" So we know back in let's say a few hundred years ago, it was common to have a town crier. Nowadays we have newspaper, we have radio, we have the internet, we have various ways of getting information. We get billboards, what have you. Back then, if there was something important, if there was any kind of news, anyone coming to town of any importance, anything happening, those in power or whatever would send a town crier, and he would stand in the marketplace. He would stand at the crossroads, perhaps, or maybe at the gates of the city where people would come in, and he would cry at the top of his voice, hear ye," or whatever phrase. "Look, this is the message that I have. Such and so is coming to town, or there's going to be a meeting tonight at the courthouse," or whatever. And people would get the message by this medium. And obviously, this is something that happened thousands of years ago, because that's the imagery we have. "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She," and I want to say she, in the book of Proverbs and a few other books that Solomon and others wrote, that the image of a woman is used. He starts off talking about wisdom, and then he mentions foolishness. Those that are wise, those that understand, and those that are simple, that don't really understand. And wisdom is pictured as a good woman, a virtuous woman. In the last chapter, we'll read about the virtuous wife. But foolishness, and also the voice of the devil, who would lead you away from the Word of God, these things are pictured as a non-virtuous woman, a whore, if you want to use the term, a prostitute, as maybe someone that would lure you. You want to be faithful to your wife, for instance, one that would wink at you, it said in one place, and ensnare you with her eyelids, it says, and obviously other parts of her anatomy, to get you to fall into sin. And throughout the book of Proverbs, there's this tug of war with God saying, look, I want you to follow me. Here is my word. This is the way that I want you to walk. This is the message that will set you free. But it's contrasted with the devil that says, no, you don't need God. You can have all the things that you want. You don't have to sacrifice. You know, who needs God? Let's have some fun, man. But in this chapter, and again, you can turn to other chapters and you'll see it's all about the one that would lead you astray. And of course, that has to do with not choosing the wise thing, not having anything to do with discretion or using your brain, but to do the foolish thing. But in this chapter, it talks about wisdom. It says, she standeth in the top of the high places, by the way of the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Now, we know that he mentions the gates of the city. This kind of imagery is used throughout the Bible. At the gates is where the decisions were made. That's where the town council met. At the doors, I believe that the doors is mentioning something about the temple of God. And we know that Jesus Christ is the door, and we can come in by him. He says, unto you, O men, I call in verse 4, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom. In a few chapters before, he says, get wisdom. And while you're getting wisdom, get understanding. Man, get all you can. And it says, be ye of an understanding heart. If you're simple, if you don't have understanding, if you're not too bright spiritually, you can sit under the Word of God. You can pick up the Word of God yourself. You can pray and God can speak to you. You can ask for counsel of those that know the Word of God and have walked with Him for a number of years or perhaps decades. You can find out what to do. You can receive wisdom from God. It is available if you choose to take it. And once again, he's crying out, saying, look, take my advice, take my word, come and eat of what I have to give you, and you'll be fulfilled. You can hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus said. You can be filled. Verse 6, hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the openings of my lips shall be right things. In other words, he's a preacher of righteousness, and it's speaking of wisdom, but there's a lot of imagery here. For my mouth shall speak truth. We know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So wisdom will lead you to Jesus Christ. And wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. See, if you don't have understanding, you can seek after understanding, you can seek wisdom. And once you get a little bit, and then you read this again, you read not only this chapter, but anything in the Word of God, as you reread it, you'll understand even more. You'll know that, hey, this thing is even more right than I thought. And I'd like to say that there are very many places in the Bible that there are wonderful nuggets of truth, wonderful, just a deep well of water that you can draw out of. I'm reminded of the proverb that Jesus told us about. He says that the Word of God or the kingdom of God was like a pearl, a very big pearl, maybe a gemstone or whatever exactly is translated in the pearl, that's hidden in a field, some grassy field or something, that the man found it, and then he went right away to the man that owned the field and hocked his house, sold his, I don't know, we don't have car, they didn't have cars back then, but if he had a car, he would have sold his car, he would have mortgaged his house, he would have done everything he could, and he bought that field. And then the pearl was rightfully his. And then he dug up the pearl and he went to sell it, and he made millions and millions of dollars. And buried in that story is the idea that when you understand and when you recognize Christ, that you give up everything that you have in order to gain him. I know that when I came to God, I had to deny myself. I knew, and I struggled with salvation and following the Lord for about 7 years, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I was going to live God's way, I'd have to give up my own way. I knew that I'd have to quit chasing women. I knew that I'd have to quit hanging around in bars. I knew that I'd have to quit my entire way of thinking. I would have to give up ownership of my life. I didn't understand very much, but I understood that. And he was right. And it was a very, very difficult decision that I made. It took 7 years to make it. And finally, when I decided, okay, Lord, I will serve you. I will follow you. I will do what you want me to do. I'll even surrender to the ministry if that's what you want me to do. That was actually my prayer when I got saved. If you want me to preach your word, I'll do it. Right at that moment, Jesus Christ came into my heart. Right at that moment, I was changed. And the things that I desired so strongly in life, after having said, okay, Lord, in effect, not my will but thine, I was changed radically, fundamentally, completely changed. And I knew that the things that I had struggled to hold on to, they didn't mean anything anymore. They meant a lot before I surrendered. But once I surrendered, I realized, hey, I don't need that stuff anyhow. I don't need that stuff anyhow. Incidentally, I was bound. I was hooked on dope. There's no question I was hooked on dope. Couldn't get away from it. Tried. Couldn't get away. But the moment Christ came into my life, I knew that I was delivered from drugs. I knew. There was no, ooh, let me find some kind of support group. There was no, let me go through withdrawal symptoms. There was no, let me go find some counselor or some shrink or whatever. I knew at that moment that I was delivered, set free from drugs. And from that day, November 30th, 1984, at about 1:45 in the afternoon, I can tell you where it was. It was at a dormitory on the LSU campus. From that day to this, I've had not one single craving for any kind of drug or anything. Not one, not anything. I was instantly, completely, miraculously delivered, set free from drug addiction by the power of God. And let me tell you, God has deliverance for each and every one of you listening to me. I don't know what your circumstances are. Maybe you're bound by drugs. Maybe you're in a marriage that's going down the tubes. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. God can set you free. God can deliver you. He can change your life from inside and out. He can change you. I know He did it for me. And I can parade hundreds of people right in front of you if I had to do it, that could testify that Jesus Christ changed their life in a miraculous way, and he can do it for you. But let's pick it up where we were. We were in verse 9. It says, "And they are all plain to him that understandeth, and write to them that find knowledge." He says, "Receive my instruction." And again, there's that call. Look, I'm putting it out before you. Go ahead and take it. "Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that there may be desired are not to be compared to it." Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Not, I don't mean let's go to UNO and get a degree in biochemistry and now I've got a lot of knowledge. Who cares? So what? He's talking about knowledge of the Word of God and a knowledge, a personal knowledge of God Almighty and of course, Jesus Christ, our Lord. An understanding and wisdom to know what to do in any given circumstance. And again, I'm not talking about technical things there. If you're a computer programmer and you need to know how to make the computer do thus or so, you know, God may help you, but probably not. You're going to have to figure that out on your own. I'm not talking about a technical knowledge. I'm not talking about a knowledge of law, let's say. I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I mean the things that matter to each of us. It doesn't matter I'm here in Metairie, I'm an American, or maybe I'm somebody in Darfur who's getting slaughtered. My need is the same person in Darfur, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. My problems in life, or what does it say? Covetousness, envy, greed, lying, not living and following God. These things, and of course I'm quoting from the Ten Commandments. I don't care if you're from China. I don't care if you're from Zimbabwe. I don't care if you're from Peru. I don't care if you are an Eskimo up in Alaska. It doesn't matter. The problems of every man in the entire world are the same, and they are the problems of the heart. And the Bible intends to talk about the problems of the heart. And let me tell you that the problems in life that we all have, Jesus Christ is the answer. The Word of God will show you what to do in any given circumstance you find yourself in. God will deliver you. And I urge you, and just as Solomon here, is urging you that you should come to Christ, that you should, if you're a Christian and you know that there are things that are troubling you, go ahead and surrender them to the Lord, because God's way is right. He said right here that in verse 9, he says, "They are plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge." God will help you, but all you have to do is say yes, Lord, to whatever situation, and he will begin to help you. Verse 11, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." In Psalm 19, it says, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And obviously, in other places, you'll find that this kind of comparison is referenced. In verse 12, he says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions." Wisdom, understanding, prudence, discretion, all of these things go together. Verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate." And, you know, we don't often use the word froward. We do have the expression to and fro. To come to is to come forward. And to go fro is to go away. And we all know that we should come to the Lord. We should look to him. But if we are froward, that means we are going away from God, away from the things of God, away from the way that God would have us to do. If we are on the straight and narrow, to be froward means to get off of that path and to leave the path of life. But he said, pride and arrogancy, pride. Pride goeth before a fall. God resists the proud, but he gives his grace to the humble. And arrogancy, which God is not happy about somebody that's arrogant. And the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, he says. And this is God speaking, and we should listen up. He says, counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding, and I have strength. He says, buy me kings reign, and princes decree justice. Buy me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Now, it's obvious that I'm not going to be able to finish this chapter this week. Next week, we'll go ahead and finish the chapter, but hopefully next week, I'd like to bring out what he is saying here. He's talking about wisdom, but he is also speaking of the person of Jesus Christ. This chapter, and specifically the last two-thirds of the chapter, or half of the chapter, is really a prophecy of Jesus Christ. And like I said, next week, I'll try to bring that out. But for the rest of the program, I'd like to talk to you about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Some of you know about it. I've got some materials on my website. I don't necessarily have anything for you to purchase. I don't sell items on my website, but I do have a few testimonies of the work that we've done. I have some newsletters and what have you. And if you haven't been to my website, my name is Joey Kelly, JoeyKelly, and my website is joeykelly.net. And you'll have to click on the right place. You'll see that I am a preacher, but I am a computer technician. I'm actually a Linux system administrator. But if you click on the links on the left, you'll find the things that relate to ministry. But like I said, I do some work down in Haiti. This is down south of Cuba. But we try to minister to the people there. You know, some of the people that we minister to, they're very poor. They live in the countryside. Some of them are farmers or whatever. And obviously that there's also some people in the city, but some of these people, they cannot read. Now, the language down there is Creole French. It's a very bad dialect of French. But like I said, some of these people we try to minister to can't read at all. If you give them a Bible, they thank you for it, but they can't understand it. They can't read it. And like I said, some of these people, if they're going to learn the Word of God, then you have to teach it to them. You have to present it to them again and again and again. You have to teach them, let's say, the story of King Solomon. You're going to have to go over it several times because they're not able to pick up the Bible themselves and read it. And I would imagine that some of those people eventually do learn how to read and write. But the reason why I mention this, there are several churches that I've preached in that not only the people are illiterate, but the pastors, the deacons, those people also cannot read, they cannot write. And one of the things that I was doing while I was there, and I've made several trips there, is work with some of the local pastors that they try and run a Bible college of sorts. They try and teach the ministers. They try and teach the pastors, the deacons, so that in turn, when Sunday rolls around and they're in their home church, they can, to in turn, teach the gospel to those that are their parishioners. I'd like to ask you to pray. You know, that if you want to talk about poverty, these people, a lot of them don't have anything. So please pray for us as we try to bring the gospel to these people. And I thank you very much. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.